Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Elizabeth. Where did Elizabeth go? Boy, this has been a good morning because I've heard Gaither music, I've heard spiritual music, we've had sang some wonderful hymns. It has been good. And so thank you, Elizabeth, too, for leading us and being a part of this as well. So grateful. This morning, I'm here in place of the regular preacher because the regular preacher is being preached to. Pastor Doug is being inspired by going to the Festival of Homiletics, and I'm jealous because I have attended with him before, and it is really a wonderful conference to go to because you hear very gifted speakers and very gifted pastors and preachers who really take the Word of God and make it alive. But there's only one way that that happens, and that if there is an infilling of God's Spirit that lets it happen, that allows it, that brings it forth to happen. This is Pentecost Sunday. It's Holy Spirit Sunday. That's why we're singing all these songs. That's why we're trying to lift up our hearts, because the Holy Spirit is part of our life. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God among us and with us always. And that's what Pentecost is all about. And that's what I want to share about this morning for the few minutes that I have to share with you as we look into God's Word and share from this text and the readings and some additional insights from God's Word this morning to let it speak into our hearts. So would you pray with me as we ask the Spirit to just be among us and lead us today? Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to worship you, to just come before you, to open our hearts to you. And Father, thank you that you do not leave us alone. You keep us in your hands. You make your presence known to us. And this morning we are reminded there are a variety of ways that you do that. And help us to discover what it means to us that you are present here. Father, I pray this in your name. Amen. You listened to the scriptures earlier, and Pastor Doug, I know that he's following the narrative lectionary, and so I asked him a few weeks ago, I said, well, what is my text for the Sunday that I'm going to be here, so that I don't vary from what he usually does? And he's, of course, you know, he's been preaching through Philippians from the narrative lectionary, and it's a fun next lectionary to follow because it ties together scriptures that are different than the common lectionary. It looks at it a little differently. So I looked at the scripture from Philippians 4 and verses 4 through 9 that was read for us earlier, and I said, what does this have to do with Pentecost? But look at it just briefly with me, and maybe we can discover something. Just go back to it with me here for a moment. The Apostle Paul has these wonderful ways of saying to us, do this, do that, as though it's going to be easy to do. Okay? Look what he says. Rejoice in the Lord always. You always feel like that? And that word always troubles you, doesn't it? Right? Or it says, and he says it again, I say rejoice, and then he talks about being gentle, and then he says, do not be anxious about anything. Have any problem with that one? Any anxiousness out here? No? Okay. But in everything, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God will transcend and guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I thought, well, that all works together pretty good, but then he has to include verse 8. And in verse 8, he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. How often do we find ourselves falling short? And I wrote in my... Whoever gets my Bible is going to be really confused, okay? Because I write notes in it on the side one. And I simply wrote the word how. How do you do this? How do you always be thinking about those things that are noble? How do you always think about those things that are right? How do you always think about what is pure and what is lovely instead of the other things that come to your mind all the time? Or the admirable things rather than revengeful things or whatever? How do you do that? What is it that allows us to live that kind of life, that makes it possible to live a life that looks at the excellent things and those kinds of things, that allows for God's presence to be in us? And then he says at the end, and the God of peace will be with you. How does it happen? Well, let's take a few minutes this morning to look back. Sometimes you have to look at what happened before you can say, this is why it's happening in your life right now. This is why we need to go back to Acts chapter 2. Because in Acts chapter 2, we find that the presence of the Holy Spirit descends upon God's people. The Holy Spirit is sent into our world. The disciples are filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit, and it changes their demeanor, it changes their heart, it excites them, it creates within them an enthusiasm that was not there before, because they were kind of huddling together in a room, not knowing what to do. Notice the effect of God's Spirit upon these individuals. And because of it, they were able to proclaim the good news. Peter had a wonderful message that took place then, but it wasn't just Peter. It says there that all of them were speaking, not speaking in languages that they were accustomed to, but languages that the people would understand. They didn't do that. The Holy Spirit did that. The Holy Spirit caused the message to radiate to everybody. No matter where what their nationality was, no matter their background, they were able to hear it. And if you want to know what the effect was, you look at the end of the chapter where we did not read, and it says 3,000 people. Because of what these 12 people did that day, or the number of people that are in that room that were filled with the Holy Spirit, because of that small group, 3,000 people became part of the Church of Jesus Christ that day. And why did it happen? Because of the Holy Spirit. And it shouldn't have surprised them. Because if you go back even a few verses before that, in Acts chapter 1, notice what Jesus says to his disciples in Acts chapter 1 and in verse 8. Or I'm going to actually start a little bit earlier. I'm going to start in verse 4. It says, on the occasion he was eating with them, and he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promised, in which you have heard me speak about. John baptized with the water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so they met together, and they asked him, are you going to restore your kingdom? They were wanting him to stay, but no. He said, it's not for them to know the dates or the times the Father has sent. But I like verse 8. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Did you notice that? And all of a sudden, just a few verses later, they are speaking in languages that everybody can understand, and the message was going to go all around the world. Who did it? The Holy Spirit, the presence of God with his people. Now, this is a wonderful, miraculous thing. But the Holy Spirit doesn't just come for a single moment and for a very wonderful experience like that. He just doesn't show up for those moments. Jesus made some other promises. Listen to something else that he said. If you go back, if you have your Bibles open, but otherwise listen. John 14, the Gospel of John. It's just a few pages back. And in John 14 and verse 15, he says, he's talking to his disciples. He's telling them what's going to happen when he's not with them anymore. And he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Not for a moment. but all the time. The Counselor, the Holy Spirit. And he says it's a spirit of truth. And I believe what he means there is not that he's going to be dividing between right and wrong and things like that, but he's going to be reminding these disciples of the truth that Jesus Christ gave to them, shared with them, showed them as he lived among them. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to remind. It is to affirm what Jesus had already shared with them and to continue to do that in their lives. And he goes on to say a little bit later, he says, before long the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live in you, you also will live. And he goes on to talk about things that are happening and things that will happen as he leaves. But then at the later, he says in verse, besides that, he says in verse 17, I'm sorry, down on a little bit further, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. But the verse before that, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. And so the Holy Spirit is why we are here today. The Holy Spirit is why the church exists today, because the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit and presence with us, is what has enabled the message to be revealed through the story of the disciples who told the story of Jesus that radiated throughout the world. And it happened 2018 years ago. And ever since then, the Holy Spirit has continued to lift up the message, the story of Jesus, Sunday after Sunday, year after year, decade after decade, century after century, and the church exists today billions strong because the Holy Spirit continues to share the message. It radically changed the world. Do you understand that? In a very radical way, it changed the world. It changed the world that had been for 2,000 years, had in previous religions, especially in Judaism, where they were very ingrown and reserved and seldom invited anybody else in. It changed it to be an open invitation to enter into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And it was all through the power and the message prompted by the Holy Spirit through these few men who stood that day after being filled with that Spirit. What did the Holy Spirit really do? Well, there's a couple of things, and let me just try to help you understand them. The Holy Spirit, as I said earlier, radiated the message all the way throughout the world. That word radiate is an interesting word. I know that most of you had things to do yesterday, but did any of you follow any kind of thing about something that happened in England yesterday? Anybody follow a little bit about the, even 40 seconds, even 30 seconds, about a marriage that took place? Well, we watched a little bit of that. We didn't watch it a long time, but we happened to see the end where they were kind of walking out, and they got into a carriage and started going down the street, waving at everybody. And comments were being made by those who were commenting from the British press, you know, and everything. And they talked about Meghan being, and I don't even know what her last name is anymore. Did anybody know what her last name is? It's going to be Princess Meghan, I think, is what it's going to be. But anyway, talked about her being very radiant. Sometimes it describes your person, your personality, what you are looking like, your demeanor. It's radiant. You talk about the sun being radiant. It means that the warmth comes from it, the rays come from it, and it's part of what blesses our world and blesses our earth. The whole idea of radiant. But it also, so it can mean what we are like inside that comes out of us. Think about how the Holy Spirit is a part of that. But hold that thought, because I want to back up to something else. The word radiant also means how we can broadcast or share things, where it goes out and starts to permeate things around us. I brought something today that all of you are going to recognize. You recognize that? Sam did right away. I said, what's that? He says, 1965. And it's right. I received this as a birthday gift in 1965. I was the most excited person in the world because my parents thought enough of me to give me a transistor radio. Not just a simple one, a powerful one. A 10-transistor radio. A lot of my friends only had 8-transistor radio. I have a 10. I was excited. You know, I loved music back in those. All of us love the music of our youth, right? So I'm a 60s fan and late 60s fan and early 70s fan. That's kind of music I love. And you know what? Thing still works. And what is the purpose of it? To broadcast, right? I mean, WCCO likes the fact that I can tune into them. You know, KDUZ likes the fact that I can tune into them and they can broadcast everything to me personally. Well, that's part of the role of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit creates a radiant church. We're supposed to be radiant in the sense that we're supposed to broadcast. We're supposed to share what God has done. We're supposed to share what Jesus has done. The message of Jesus is a wonderful message. And the good news is that we have that story that's right in here, the story of Jesus, but you have another story. And it's the same story that the disciples had, and it's the same story that the Apostle Paul told twice in the book of Acts. It's the story of how Jesus became part of his life. And it was his story. And as I said, he shared it twice very specifically. You have the same kind of story. A story of how Jesus is part of your life. It's a story that you can share, that you can tell. And it's of as many as there are here, this is how many stories we have. Because none of us are the same. You know, some of us grew up with Christian parents and wonderful Christian homes. We can tell that story. And how they spoke Jesus into our life and encouraged us. Others talk about how they came to Jesus on a special moment or at special meetings or at a Billy Graham gathering, a crusade, whatever it might be. But all of us have a story. And the Holy Spirit's role is to help us tell that story. Remind us of what it is. Remind us of the special verse of Scripture that became part of the story. Perhaps it was a special verse, special passage of Scripture that became part of the story. It amazes me all the time. I talk with people, and Sarah knows this. It's about confirmation time when we normally do Confirmation Sunday at church in Dassel. We did every couple of years or sometimes every year. And I would have the kids at the very end of their confirmation select a life verse, and then also write why that is part or why that verse was important to them. And so that hopefully they would remember that verse, incorporating it into a story that the Holy Spirit could use to touch somebody else's life. What is your life verse? If you come to me and ask me my life verse, I can tell you 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. What does it say? The old has passed away, the new has come. Life story, life verse that includes a story behind it. I can tell you why that verse is important to me. When it happened, where I was at, when it became a very significant part of my life. And I can do that because of the Holy Spirit, and it was a Holy Spirit moment that made my heart change that day. Even though I grew up in a Christian home, I still needed to find that moment myself where Jesus changed my heart. And then I can tell that story. But you know, the Holy Spirit has even more of a role than that. The Holy Spirit also has the role of encouraging us and strengthening us, to encourage us to love more, to encourage us to enjoy what we are in Jesus Christ and have the confidence and assurance to be able to share it, and to also have the happiness, that demeanor that comes about because Jesus is part of our lives. You know, it says in Acts chapter 2 that the people were amazed at the disciples. Now, yes, they probably were amazed by the message and what they were hearing, but I think they were also amazed at the enthusiasm. I think they were also amazed at these men, that they were common men, but they were sharing great things. What had changed their heart? What had changed their life? How had it affected their whole being? And the Holy Spirit has a part of that as well. How? Brings us back to that question, doesn't it? The whole question is, when Paul presented the words up here in Philippians chapter 4. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things, these kinds of things. How do you do it? God's given you the resource, the Holy Spirit. Touch that resource. A number of years ago, did a teaching at the church. We went with some group of men that we went through a Bible study together. And it was a video Bible study by Dr. Tony Evans. I don't know if any of you are familiar with him. He's a gifted pastor in Texas and very accomplished pastor. And he also presents extremely well, African-American. And he was presenting a series on the spiritual armor in Ephesians chapter 6, and all the idea of putting on the whole armor of God that you may stand against the wiles of Satan, and how that happens. And he made a statement in one of those presentations that has stayed with me ever since, because I hadn't quite thought of it in the simplest terms that he did. He said in that statement, he said, God has given us everything from him. There's not going to be any more. Everything is available to you. All of his fullness. As a matter of fact, it says in Colossians, it talks about Jesus, and it says the fullness of God. God was pleased to have his fullness, all of his fullness, dwell in Jesus Christ. And Jesus lived among us. And Dr. Evans said, the fullness of God has come. It's all there. It's just a matter of whether we are able to tap into it. The role of the Holy Spirit is to enable us and to reveal to us the fullness if we simply open our heart and seek him. You see, sometimes we don't know all that's available. There are times, I really believe that we are limited in some ways because we just do not understand all that is available to us through God's Spirit, because the very presence of God is with us in the Holy Spirit. And Dr. Bill Bright from Campus Crusade once told a story, and I want to share this with you as I illustrate that. He told a story about a fellow by the name of Yates, who was a rancher in Texas. This went back quite a few years. And he said this Mr. Yates was not making enough in his ranching operation to pay the principal, let alone the interest on his mortgage. And he was struggling. And he was in danger of losing his ranch. And with the little money for clothes and food, his family was really struggling and subsisting on very meager food. Day after day, as he grazed his sheep over those rolling hills in West Texas, he was no doubt greatly troubled about how he would pay his bills. And then a seismographic crew from an oil company showed up. You know the story. And they came into the area and they told him there might be oil on his land. And they asked permission to drill a wildcat well, and he signed a lease contract. Actually, those lease contracts at that time was usually somewhere around 1 barrel out of 10. We would get 10%. And day after day, as they went and as they proceeded, they drilled and they went down 1,115 feet, and they struck an oil reserve that was huge. The first well came in at 80,000 barrels a day. Let's see. Well, every 10th one, that's pretty good. The second one came in at 120,000 barrels a day. Matter of fact, that was over 40 to 50 years ago after the end of that discovery. And even still today, the potential of the flow is 125,000 barrels a day. He was grazing sheep on the hills of West Texas. He had no idea what was there, what was available to him. Many Christians, and I have to raise my hand, because I'm true, it's true about me too. Oftentimes we live in spiritual poverty, not realizing what the potential is, not realizing what is available to us through the Holy Spirit, not realizing that we have all of God's fullness there for us all the time. So the answer is to the question, how do we dwell on whatever is true and whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is excellent and praiseworthy? How do we do that? Well, the answer is also there in Philippians chapter 4. I hope I don't steal any of Doug's thunder for next week. But in verse 13, you know it. If I start it, you can repeat it. I can do all things. Say it again. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. There's the resource. And the Holy Spirit takes us there. That's his purpose. That's what he does. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for encouragement. Thank you for the resource that you bring to us. Thank you for the fact that we can be a radiant church, that we can share the story of how your Spirit moves among us, and that we can also show that story of what your Spirit has done within us and what we do with our hearts and our lives and what we dwell on. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.